This is Lasair Bradley, Jr., welcoming you to another broadcast of the Baptist Bible Hour. Since these programs are prepared in advance, we don't have up-to-date details about what all is going on regarding the coronavirus, but we do know this, that whatever our immediate and present circumstances, our trust is in the living God who reigns upon the throne of heaven. We're going to bring you the first part of a message today entitled, He Leadeth Me. What more consoling truth could we consider than to know that our Good Shepherd leads us? I hope that you will write us at the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217.
The Apostle Paul tells us that we are to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We know that the psalms are given us by direct revelation, that is, inspiration. The psalmists were inspired so that it is a part of the canon of Scripture. It is God's holy word. Many of those that have written spiritual songs no doubt receive some blessing and direction of God to be able to pen such beautiful and truthful words, but they were not inspired in the sense in which the writers of Scripture were, of course. I've been acquainted through the years with a number of the writers of hymns and songs that are in our hymnal, and when I think back on the experiences of some of those individuals and their commitment to the Lord, it just adds something to the singing of the songs that they have penned. And I have brought you several messages in which we have used one of the familiar selections in our book, drawn some lessons from it, connected it with the scripture upon which it was based by the hymn writer, and you've expressed that to be something of a special blessing to you, because as you sing that hymn, and maybe even it comes to your mind when you're not singing in church, but you may sing it just as you go about your duties at home or wherever, and it helps to bring to mind the truth of the things that we have endeavored to set forth. This evening I want to talk about the familiar hymn, He Leadeth Me. And I'll first read the words. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, what words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by waters still or troubled sea, still 'tis his hand that leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, e'en death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. And then the chorus, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. The words written by Joseph Gilmore, the music by William Bradbury. To give a little background about the writing of the hymn, Joseph Gilmore tells this story. As a young man who had recently graduated from Brown University, I was supplying for a couple of Sundays the pulpit of the First Baptist Church in Philadelphia. At the midweek service on the 26th of March, 1862, I set out to give the people an exposition of the 23rd Psalm, which I had given before on 3 or 4 occasions. But this time, I did not get further than the words, "He leadeth me." Those words took hold of me as they had never done before, and I saw them in a significance and wondrous beauty of which I had never dreamed. It was the darkest hour of the Civil War. I did not refer to that fact, that is, I don't think I did, but it may subconsciously have led me to realize that God's leadership is the one significant fact in human experience that makes no difference how we are led or whether we are led, so long as we are sure that God is leading us. At the close of the meeting, a few of us in the parlor of my host, Deacon Watson, on talking about the thought which I had emphasized, and then and there on the blank page of the brief which I had intended to speak, I penciled the hymn, talking and writing at the same time, then handed it to my wife and thought no more about it. She sent it to the Watchman and Reflector, a paper published in Boston where it was first printed. I did not know until 1865 that my hymn had been set to music by William B. Bradbury. I went to Rochester to preach, and going into their chapel, I picked up the hymnal to see what they were singing and opened it to my own hymn, "He Leadeth Me." William Bradbury added the last 2 lines of the chorus, "His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me." The message that Joseph Gilmore had brought, which led to the writing of this hymn, was from Psalm 23. I'll read the entire psalm, but we will focus on the 2 times in the psalm that the expression is used, "He leadeth me." "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." First, as we look at this hymn in conjunction with the psalm, we see a blessed thought. He leads. It's a comforting truth, just expressed in the first verse of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. To speak of the Lord speaks of the one who is the great I Am, the sovereign God who rules and reigns over all. When he describes him as being a shepherd, it brings to our mind the picture of how much attention sheep actually require. It was not a desired vocation. In those families that kept sheep, it was often assigned to the youngest member of the family. You remember that was the case with David. It required around-the-clock effort, living with the sheep, caring for them, seeing to it that they were led into pastures where they could find something that would sustain them. It is said that sheep will remain in the same place and eat the grass down to a nub until there's nothing left to eat, and they must be directed and guided into pastures where they can feed. The shepherd was there also to protect them and shield them from any impending danger. When we think about the sovereign Lord being our shepherd, guiding us, staying with us around the clock, protecting us, sustaining us. What a joy to consider the Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And then after saying he restoreth my soul, he says again, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So we have before us a blessed thought. Without proper leadership, there are great troubles that ensue. We can see that in the history of God's people. There had been some great leaders on the scene. Moses was an outstanding servant of God, an effective leader. We find Joshua in a role of leadership, guiding the people as they came into the land. But by the time we get to the book of Judges, we see that chaos reigned. Now, there were those times when God raised up a particular judge to guide the people in the right path. But this was not a perpetual position. It was not the same as when one king followed another. So when you get to the last chapter of the book of Judges and read in chapter 21, verse 25, it says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. There was no king. There was no leader. And the result was every man did what seemed right to him. There was no authority. There were no guides to direct the people in the correct course of action. And so every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That, of course, depicts man in his fallen state. That's exactly what all of us by nature would prefer to do what's right in our own eyes. Little children do not like to be told, you can't do that. The answer is no. And they sometimes display their great dissatisfaction when they hear that unpleasant word, because all they want to do is what they want to do, what seems right to them. And that independent nature manifests itself not only in little children, but in all of us as adults as well. But God has given his law, given his word, so that there are standards set, and we're not at liberty to do what seems right in our own eyes. And when we take that kind of a course of action, there are consequences to be suffered. So the nation Israel suffered great confusion in this era when there was no king and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That certainly is true of any nation on this earth. If there is not an effective leader, if there is not one in a position of authority, if there is not one that the people are willing to follow, great troubles can ensue. In some cases, it's been the total downfall of a nation. It's led to anarchy. It's led to great troubles and mass killings and all kinds of difficulties that come as a result of not having a leader in place. Now we're talking about what a blessed thought it is that we have a leader, and he's God. He leadeth me. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. So we're not left in darkness and confusion. We have a leader. But just as nations can suffer severely without proper leadership, that's true also in a home. If a father shirks his responsibility, turns the role of leadership over to his wife, refuses to function as the spiritual leader in the home, it's going to result in confusion. It's going to bring heartache. It's going to bring trouble. God has given the husband the responsibility of spiritual leadership. It's not a dictatorship, but it's loving leadership. It's leading in kindness, with deep love and concern, with a desire that ultimately God's name is going to be glorified in this marriage. And that's true concerning the man's responsibility to his children. I've known of some men to turn discipline entirely over to the wife, or to be so busy that he wasn't even in tune with what was going on in his own children's lives. It can result in all kinds of problems. Teenage rebellion, disruption of peace and tranquility in the home, failure for that home to be a place where God's name is revered and glorified. How vital that every husband and every father realize what a privilege it is to fill that role of leadership. It's a solemn responsibility. It's one in which the man needs great help of the Lord, and that's available to him when he seeks it. But if for whatever reason he rejects or ignores his responsibilities, there's going to be terrible circumstances that will result from it. We see an example of that. We turn to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3. And the Lord said to Samuel, this is verse 11, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." And then shortly thereafter, you find the description of his death. Eli was a prophet, but he had neglected things at home. In this battle, his sons are slain, and the word is brought to him, and he falls off of his seat backwards. He was a big man, a heavy man, and the weight as he hit the ground killed him. And at the same time, his daughter-in-law gave birth to a child, and she named him Ichabod, meaning "the glory hath departed." What a sad day in Israel's history. Here's a man who had had a positive influence in the life of Samuel. Here was a man that was functioning about the house of God, but he neglected his own sons. His sons were living in open, blatant rebellion, vile practices, and yet Eli did not address it at all. It's a difficult thing to confront situations that have gotten out of hand, to come to grips with the fact that here's some things that have been ignored and overlooked, and now I need to deal with it, and just to turn your back and say, too late, nothing I can do about it. Eli had opportunity to have repented and to have confronted his sons, but he didn't do it. God said, "I'm going to send judgment." For a home to be without a godly leader, with children to be without a godly father who will guide them and direct them, is a great loss. And then this is applicable also in the church. Hebrews chapter 13 and the 17th verse. "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your soul, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. Of course, the scriptures tell us that we're to be submissive to the powers that be because they're ordained of God. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about those that watch for your soul. He's talking about the pastor that labors, the under-shepherd concerned for the welfare of the flock. Now, we understand there's a balance given us in Scripture where it is said that the pastor is not to be a lord over God's heritage. He's not to intimidate. He's not to be a selfish, self-centered ruler, but there is a sense in which he rules. I've known of situations where pastors thought it was a display of humility for them always to give way to whatever anybody else's opinion was. I've known of pastors that when it would come to an issue that came before the body in their church conference, would be reluctant ever to express an opinion. Well, it's just whatever you may feel. And the result of that is that many times the church veers off course and goes down the wrong road. There is a role of leadership that pastors must accept. It's not a matter of coming before the body and saying, here's my personal opinion, here's my preference, and I want you to give me the due respect to which I'm entitled. No, it's a matter of coming as a servant of Jesus Christ, one called to the work, one who is diligently studying the Word of God, praying for understanding, praying for spiritual guidance himself, that he might then give guidance to the church as a body and to individuals within that church. Oh, I know in this day and time, such a text as this is not readily received. But this is still the inspired word of God. Obey them that have the rule over you. He says that the minister must give an account. He must give an account to God for those to whom he is responsible. And he said here that let him do that with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. So it turns about to be to your own advantage that you recognize that role of leadership, because if you fail to do it and the pastor grieves over that failure, he's not having joy in his own heart, and that's not profitable for you. So it says you have a vested interest in this. You have a personal advantage to gain, that when you do the right thing, that it will then be beneficial in a variety of ways. So without proper leadership, there are great troubles. How does he lead us? Well, he leads us through his word. How vital to recognize that. Some people depend on visions and dreams. Some depend on what they feel emotionally at the moment. Some claim that God has spoken to them and directed them to take a particular course of action. But you can rest assured, if you at some times think God is impressing something on your mind, but it's not in harmony with his word, it didn't come from the Lord. The Spirit of God will never contradict what is given us in the inspired record. Psalm 25 and the 5th verse, the psalmist prays, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. The psalmist recognized the need of being taught, but how does he expect to do it? Praying, Lord, lead me in thy truth. I'm not looking for some new revelation. I'm not expecting that God is going to say something to me that's over and beyond what he's already given us in his inspired word, but lead me in thy truth. I need leadership. I need guidance. I need help, and I'm turning to the Lord for that guidance that is so necessary.
Thank you.
I'm glad that you've been with us for the broadcast today. I hope that you will take time to go to our website, baptistbiblehour.org, where you can hear other messages, and you can there make a donation to support the program if you'd like to help it stay on the air and stay on your local station. Until we greet you next time, this is Lasaire Bradley, Jr., bidding you goodbye, and may God bless you.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect salvation, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior, praising my Savior.